Why does God want us to pray? This is vital. Sometimes we get too technical. Get into that relational thing, then you will want to pray. Okay? Why does God want us to pray? You know why? Very simple. Because God wants us to constantly be connected with His heart. And one of the ways that we connect with His heart is to talk to Him. That's why God wants prayer. He wants us to pray. It's not because He's petty, you know. He's withholding His blessing because we are not talking to Him. Not because He's stingy or He's petty. The moment we are prayerless, He holds back blessings. Do you know why? He wants to get our attention. He wants to starve us out of prayerlessness. Because prayer is simply God wants us to be connected with His heart. That is what prayer is all about. Turn with me to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Now I'm going to give you some important principle. Isaiah 30. Say this. So powerful. God is waiting. You know, a lot of time we think that we are waiting for God, but many times God is waiting. And prayer is simply because God wants to connect with us. And when we stop praying, God withholds blessings, favor, what you have is because He wants to starve us out of prayerlessness so that we will pray. We will pray. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says this. Therefore, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. This is powerful. He will wait. He wants to be gracious to you. And therefore, He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is the God of justice. You know, this is a very powerful. He intentionally uses God of justice. He wants to release justice, but He will wait. Wait for what? That's the answer in verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When He hears it, He will answer you. God is waiting. God is waiting. That's why, write this down. The foundational principle of the kingdom of God is we need to ask. Everything we need to ask. James 4, verse 2 says what? You have not because you ask not. Amazing, isn't it? Luke 11, verse 9 and 10 says what? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and it will be found. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's right, Jackson. It's correct. The foundational principle of the kingdom of God is what? Ask. We have to ask. A lot of time, we don't get even the promise of God is simply because we have not asked. No, let me just qualify a few things, okay? Then I'll give you a few verses. Firstly is this. When we ask God or prayer, it's not earning God's favor. It's about God wants to connect with our heart. It's about positioning of our heart to receive what He desires to give us as we connect to His heart in intimacy. Remember John chapter 15, verse 7 says what? If you abide in me, and my word abide in you. What is next? Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Because He wants connection with our heart. We hold is because He wants to starve us out of prayerless. I tell you, if at the press of a button, anything God just give you right now, you don't have to say a thing, I'm sure we won't pray. We will even forget about God. That's why God has to wait. He will hold back. Okay, just write this down. Daniel 9, verse 1 to 3. Daniel 9, verse 1 to 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. If you are familiar with Daniel 9, verse 1 to 3, is Daniel read about a powerful prophecy from the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years, God will bring Israel back to Jerusalem, okay? And 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul exhorts Timothy to contend and pray for the prophetic promises that he has for his life. It's a very simple reason. Even God's promise for your life is not guaranteed. It's based on prayer. That's why a lot of people don't lift up the promise of God in their life because they forget about praying, contending. Okay. Again, God hold back is not to prove that he's the boss or he's petty. It's the expression of his jealousy. He is jealous. Let me add one more thing, which is vital. Okay, the key is us. See, a lot of time we just think. No, don't just think. You know, we think in frustration. Us. That means you have to verbalize it. You have to say it. No, it's vital. I'll talk about it at the end of today. You have to say it. Don't just think. Think in your mind. Yeah, I need this. No, yes. No, Matthew 6 says, God knows before I even ask. Yes, he knows. But he wants you to say it. You have to ask. Okay? You have to ask. Okay. Next. Take out your paper. Write this down. Three practical steps or principle in cultivating a consistent prayer life. No, take out. Don't be too proud. We all need to relearn. Okay. Three practical steps or principle in cultivating a consistent prayer life. Again, when I say it, it's nothing new. No, I intentionally want you to write it down because the issue is not something new. The issue is actually very few people does it. It's just a very simple principle, but it's absolutely necessary for most. Maybe out of 100, there's one don't need this three step. They're just born to pray. I rarely find, you know, when I talk to Alice Smith, she even tell me, Kei Chong, if you don't do this three, you will never get your prayer life consistent. I say, you, Alice Smith, pray 3-4 hours a day. So I learn, okay, three practical steps. Okay, get ready. Tonight you will bring me for supper. No, this is such a precious truth. No, it's true. Simple but precious. First one. Ready? First one. Set a schedule for your prayer time. Set a daily schedule for prayer. Again, I'm going to define for you 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you tell me your prayer time is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, say grace, then that don't count. Okay, yeah. Then you fast and you don't pray. Okay. Set a schedule for your prayer time. No, you have to. You have to. I learn it myself. I will never pray if I only do it when I'm free or I feel like it. I may sometimes do it. A lot of times, I don't. No, I'm not just talking about you pray once in a while. I'm talking about consistent prayer life. Set a schedule. And they say, oh yeah, that's too legalistic. No. Scheduling is not legalism. It's called discipline. See, any Christian lifestyle, there is a progression. That's where we got it wrong. You know, we are in this, we're going to allow many worldly values to come in. We are lazy. We want things quick. Any Christian lifestyle, there's this 3D. The first is desire. See, a lot of people don't go beyond desire. You know what's the second one? Discipline. You know what's the third one? Delight. You start with a desire. That's why one thing I have, desire of the Lord. Many people stop there. That's it. Because they haven't sick yet. Everybody desire, but they haven't scared you to actually do it. That discipline. That's why setting a schedule helps you. No. Yeah, I set schedule 7 days, but I only do 4. I tell you, if you set 7 days, you do 4, that's not too bad. Imagine if you don't even set a schedule, I think you need to do 1.5, maybe even less. It helps. Then eventually, it becomes a lifestyle. Then you can throw away the schedule because it's in you. It's automatic, really. So every time Monday morning I wake up, I know I don't eat. Because it's a schedule that is ingrained in me. So set a schedule. You have to. You have to. If you don't, you will not do it. Delight will come after years of doing diligently and intentionally. It's true. You have to start. So set a schedule for your prayer. And I say, oh, okay, you know. Yeah, see, that's where I realized too, many Christians, as they get older, this thing begin to be deleted. We think automatically we will do it. If you're honest, actually it's the other way around. We actually don't do it. We think that we have graduated. We are graduated from not doing. We haven't graduated from scheduling. I don't even need to ask you to raise up your hand. And the most dangerous people is the house of prayer people. Because we think we are in the house of prayer, we automatically will pray. That's not necessarily true. That's why I say, don't just do IHOP. Be IHOP. This is vital. That's why the truth is, please do it. It's for your own sake. It's good for yourself. Say, yeah, 1 hour I pray all for myself. That's good. At least you pray for yourself. If you spend 1 hour praying for yourself, you pray 6 months later, I'm sure God is going to convict your heart. Kichong, you're a little bit self-centered. It's time that you need to give 5 minutes praying for someone else. Then 55 minutes for myself, 5 minutes for Boon Kiat. Yeah, if I keep praying, my life will change. Yeah, 5 minutes for Boon Kiat, that's not bad. Why not? I'm just kidding. Yeah, so set a schedule. That's the key thing. First one. Second, develop a personal prayer list. Develop a personal prayer list, okay? Because that gives you a focus. If not, you go there. You say, okay, today I can pray 1 hour. Go there. So what do I pray? Have you gotten to that? Yeah, you go there, what do I pray? Yeah, I do have certain things in my mind that I will pray. No, that does not mean that you cannot deviate from a prayer list. There are times that you feel inspired, you can pray some other things, okay? And that does not mean that you have finished the list. But it's good to have a prayer list because that sets you a focus. The goal is not to finish the list. The goal of setting that list is help you to stay focused. If not, you go there, what do I pray today? I don't know. Yeah, I go there. Okay, I pray for Boon Kiat. After that, who else? You spend the 1 hour you're thinking, what do I pray? Okay. But when you set a certain focus, okay, that sets you the direction. Third one, which is vital. Third one. Have a correct view of God. Have a correct view of God. That means know who God is and how He views us. Primarily is who He is as a Father and Jesus as a bridegroom, because this is vital. It's vital because if you don't, I know you can see the key is you can set a schedule, you can have a focus, but you have a wrong view of God, you're unlikely to enjoy prayers. Even all this will not help you to go very far, okay, which is important, okay. So, you have three. First one is what? Set a schedule. Two is run the prayer list. Okay, three. If you don't know, what do I pray? Number one, Kei Chong. Okay. Three, having a correct view of God. Okay, when you do that, a schedule will help you to establish when to pray. A prayer list will give you a focus. You know what to pray. A correct view of God will cause you to want to pray. It's as simple as that. Then after a while, you use your heart, you engage. You apply it to the same, you apply the same principle as you come to the house, whether it's apostolic or devo. Is it the danger of us doing this nightly or so have, say, oh, free, I come. Human beings are habitual people. If you tell yourself, every Tuesday, I will come. After a while, it becomes a routine for you. You will come. And then you begin to lock in. When I come, if it's a devotional, what do I do? How do I focus? How do I set my heart? After a while, you get used to it. It becomes easy. Of course, there will be bad days. But then there will be more good days than bad days. So that is how it works. Then you begin to grow. You begin to enjoy. Slowly you realize that your heart comes alive. Prayer is no longer just something you do. Actually, it's your lifestyle. You pray. Even when you read the word, you pray. I call it prayer read. Do you know that sometimes you read the Bible, you can talk to God and pray and begin to verbalize. See, sometimes you see me sit in front, suddenly I read the word, then I close the word and say, because God speaks to me, begin to strike my mind. I'm not going to get into that least thing. Wait, God. I have three more things before I seriously talk to you. No, I just close the Bible and say, oh, serious. I'm gonna just, oh, God, tell me about this. Tell me about this. That is the key thing. Okay. I skip. I quickly for you. Okay, never mind. I skip. Skip. Because I'm going to go into how do you focus. Okay, next one. Why corporate prayer? Why corporate prayer? Why night and day prayer? Okay. Why corporate prayer? Why night and day prayer? You know, my concern is always that we think we already know. See, there's a huge difference between you already know and you are living it. It's a huge difference. No, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm concerned. Because I've been through it, I know. It's easy. A lot of time we live on past history. Yeah, I used to have a prayer life. I used to have a prayer life. But how about now? That is the key thing. Christian walk, you don't live in history, you live in the presence. And your presence will determine your future. How you live right now is vital. That's the key thing. That's why to me, if I decide to come to pray, I come because I know that it marks my heart. It changed my heart. It's important. I have to decide. I have to set a schedule. Is there no challenge? Of course, there's lots of challenge. But I have to rearrange if this is important. If this is important. Okay. That's why, you know, next year, like, there's going to be more trips for me. I got a big time negotiating with God, not even my wife. So I go 4, 5, 6. Can I do 5? How about 4.5? Or so on. Okay. I'm not going to tell you how many. Okay. Next, come back. Why corporate prayer? Why night and day prayer? This is vital. Why we come together. There is a reason. You know why? Because prayer meeting is God's essential way in releasing His government here on earth. Prayer meeting. As simple as it is, that is God's way in releasing His government here on earth. Okay, use it as power and authority. God's hand moves when His people agree with Him here on earth. That's why Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. Two or three agree. There must be an agreement. You say, oh, I pray at home. No. That's why it's important to come together. It's inconvenient, it's humbling. But sometimes that's how God works. He wants to humble you. He wants to inconvenience you. But corporate prayer is essential way in releasing God's government here on earth. There's no other way. Prayer, worship. That's what Jesus did. I mean, or rather, that's what He does. He's still doing. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He governed the entire created order by prayer, but more than that, partnering with people here on earth. We all know, what's Revelation 4 and 5? What's Revelation 4 and 5? It's the picture of the prayer room in heaven, which is the governmental center of God's kingdom. What is the governmental center of God's kingdom? Corporate prayer meeting. Ask you the next questions. Then what is the house of prayer? What is the house of prayer? House of prayer is the governmental center of God here on earth. It reflects the governmental center of God before the throne. In Revelation 4 and 5. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 10. What? Matthew 6, sorry, I lost the thought. On earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's vital that we have to come together. It's not about plucking in everybody, do it at home on your own. It's vital and it matters that when there's more agreement, there is more power. That's how he works. Agreement, agreement, agreement. Next, take me to Luke 18. Luke 18. I'm just running it very quickly because I want to go to how do you engage. Luke 18. Luke 18. Verse 7 and 8, where Jesus actually ties night and day together with work of justice. Okay, why? Because the work of justice is the most effective in the context of night and day prayer. You know why? Because there are two main reasons that we often neglect. Okay, see, we need to know. Work of justice, you can be, you know, serving the poor, among the streetwalker, you know, helping the Israel because of Holocaust and so on, killing field, or you go somewhere out there to help you know, people who are sick, in need, and so on. It's called injustice. If you read the Bible and if you understand the spiritual realm, we need to know that there is a significant reality of demonic forces behind every injustice. You know, we are naive to think that it's just human factor, and by our own human ability, we can solve all the problems. No, I'm not saying that. That means you don't go out to do anything. But the issue is not either or. But the important factor is night and day prayer. And Jesus make it very clear in Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. If we cry out night and day, surely God will answer. Justice will come. That's the number one reason. We are naive to think that it's just a human factor. We are naive to think that by our effort, we can solve the problems. No. Just like what is happening, Ebola, out there in Africa. What are you going to do? One of the key things is pray. We have to pray for God's justice, for healing to be released. Second, do you know why? You know why? Because work of justice is hard work. Which I talked to many years ago. I talked to, what's the lady's name in Hong Kong? Jackie Pullinger. She says it's hard work. She was telling me, one of the main reason why many people quit in the light of what she's doing, you know, serving to the prostitute, drug addict, is that after a while, people become weary. After a while, people get burned out. You know why? Night and day prayer. Why prayer? Because if our heart is not connected to the greatest social worker, who is the greatest social worker? Jesus, who is full of compassion. He's full of love. If our heart is not connected and re-energized, eventually we will get weary. We will get tired. We get burned out because the reward is very low. I know, I was talking to Jackie. He said, you know, you touch. In fact, I know a few persons in China where they work among the drug addicts and so on. They say that you can help 10. At the end of the day, if there are two who stay with you, that is huge. A lot they don't. That's why people get tired. That's where you need to get connected through prayer to the greatest social reformer. His name is Jesus. That's why we don't get tired. It's the same in anything that we do in ministry. That's why we need prayer to re-energize. Okay. Next. I know I'm zipping it through. I know I was a bit ambitious. I'm throwing fasting some more. Okay. Yeah. So if I throw fasting in, at the end, I'll just give you one line. Fasting means don't eat. Okay. Okay. Eight benefits of prayers. Eight benefits of prayer. This is important. No, it's true. You need to understand this. Then you will pray. First one, intercession causes us to internalize God's word. Yes, each time you say it, it marks your heart. It's true. That's why I always intentionally, every prayer meetings, I will open up the Bible. I want to see it myself. Even though, if let's say Cynthia, that's not praying, Ephesians 1:17, I will open it up and I will read it softly. Because I want to verbalize it. And then as Cynthia pray or whatever, I say, yes, God, pour out the spirit of revelation. Strike the heart of the young people. Even though I'm praying for another person, the fact that I'm verbalizing it, my heart is marked. because of the word of God. John, John 6, turn me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Listen to this. "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." You have to say it. If you throw in Romans 10, verse 9, faith comes from hearing the word. But before that, you confess. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, something changes in your heart. That's why I always say it. I mean, I was enjoying myself with doing during the call. You sit this side, sit this side. And when the word is said, then we'll turn, then we'll say very loud, then look at one another, we laugh. Then after we pray in the Spirit. I give you another way of doing it. How do you internalize? But say it. That's why last Saturday, Darren was leading this song. How do you sing the song? I am what? I'm yours. I'm totally yours. I'm wholly yours, and so on. When he began to sing, when he sang that, you know what came to my mind? Song of Song, chapter 7, verse 10. I began to turn to it. I am my beloved. His desire is towards me. My response is, yes, your desire is towards me. You like me. Yes, I'm saying it to my own heart, and I know my heart is marked. Each time you do this, something happened. Something changed. Like on Thursday, Annabelle was leading this song about there's going to be a wedding. I immediately turned to Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad, rejoice, and giving glory. I say, yes, God, I pray that I will understand that gladness even right now. I say it. So don't be passive. Just sit there. Don't just listen to the music. Music helps, but music don't change you. Open up the word and say it. Verbalize it, because that will change you. No, I said, wow, where Ma Huan no. Initially, it seems like you're trying to juggle a few balls. If you keep doing it, it becomes you. Actually, it becomes easy. I don't even realize. I ask, I say very loud. I say, yeah, very loud. I don't even know. I'm don't even bother about you. I'm not saying for you to hear. I'm saying to hear for myself, for my heart to hear it. And I know every time I even do it at home. Sometimes my mom says, can you quiet down a little bit? So when you do it, something changes. It's more than just your heart change. You have a little glimpse of that revelation. And that's why that day I went to Darren and tell Darren, can you focus on the second half? His desire is towards me, because he wants to focus on how can I not love you. Not that it's bad, but that. Because somehow God began to speak to me and say, hey, isn't this something that I'm always teaching about? God likes me. So I want him to emphasize on that so that I can dwell deeper and I can verbalize it and so on. That's how it works. Okay, intercession causes us to internalize God's word. Say it. No, say it and teach our children to say it. Verbalize it. Yeah, I'll give you some steps later. Two, intercession unites our heart. Yes, the people that I pray for, as well as when we come together, we will unite our heart. Okay, I'm going to go quick. Third, intercession is a practical expression of love for people. Yeah, it's labor. It's true. People say, oh, lazy man, you'll just stay here and pray. No, you don't realize that. Okay, just write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Philippians 1, verse 19. Okay. Fourth one, intercession renews our hope and faith in God as we wait for the release of His promise. That's why you read a few Psalms. David always said, be strong, wait upon the Lord, be strong. He's waiting for God in the place of prayer. Okay. Fifth, intercession causes multiplied blessings to return back to the life of intercessor. Do you know that you pray for other people, you yourself is being blessed? It's true. It is. That's something. Hey, come to the mind and pray. You know, it's for your own sake. Yeah, I mean, maybe tomorrow will be a long queue. Okay. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. 6. Intercession humbles us before God. Yes, it humbles you. Yeah. 7. Intercession positions our heart to hear from God, resulting in intimacy with God. Yes, that's why I love. You know, I'll tell you, a lot of time I stand up there and pray about a familiar verse, and suddenly I realize that I had a revelation about something new when I was praying. That is the power of prayer. Okay, that's the power of prayer. Intercession position our heart to hear from God, resulting in intimacy with God. Last one. Intercession changes spiritual atmosphere of church, city, nations, and most importantly, generations. Okay. Last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to help you to, I'm going to give you some steps. Okay. Firstly is, how do you connect with God through prayer, reading the word? Because there are many ways of reading the word, but the word is primarily help us to know God as well as to start a conversation with God. So it's the first thing. Second is, how do we engage during apostolic prayer? A lot of times people don't know what to do. You know, a lot of times I say many times, just write it down and start practicing. After a while, you begin to enjoy it. And what do you do during Devo? Okay, it's very simple. First one is this. How do you connect with God through prayer, reading the word? Now, I always say this. Don't just read the Bible cognitively. There is a place, but don't just read the Bible cognitively. That's the problem with Pharisees. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40. They know the scripture, they search the scripture diligently, but the next verse Jesus said, you refuse to come to me to find life. Because basically they just studied the word cognitively. But they did not use the word to connect their heart with God. The main reason I study the Bible is so that I will know God. I don't want to be the expert of the Bible. I want to be the expert in knowing God through studying the Bible and through praying the Bible. That's what it is about. That's why I always say this. Bible study is to fill my mind with the knowledge of God. Meditation is to help to transfer the information from my mind to my heart. Okay. Even though that space between my brain and my heart is probably less than a meter, but it takes a long time. But that is the power of meditation. And when you begin to pray, read to God, it works. That's what I do when I'm at home, especially if I'm tired. Okay. You just realize primarily there's two kinds of truth. There are actually more than just generalize in two. One is truth calling us to believe. One is truth exhorting us to obey. Truth exhorting us to believe is basically this. For example, Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He will take care of me. He will provide. When I read that verse, you know what do? Yes, Jesus, you will take care of me. In you, I shall lack nothing. You will take care of me. And I begin to talk even more. I say, oh God, help me to understand even more about you will provide. Then more verses will come to remind as a result of this verse. Like Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. You say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This is true. And I'm going to do it. And I'll first throw one guarantee behind. Will you back it up, Lord? Because your word is true. I begin to talk to him. So that's how you do. I call it devotional reading of the word. That means I just read, there are different ways of reading the Bible. One of the ways I call it devotional reading of the word. As I read, there's a certain truth that strikes my heart. I begin to talk to God. Like I was reading the book of Deuteronomy this few days, you know, that come to this part where God said, which nation that's so great that I give you the statute, the law, and the judgment? I said, wow, this is great, man. God, help me to know about your law. Many people teach us that law is bad, but you say this is good. Help me open my eyes to see, to understand the richness of your law. Then I begin to read. It caused me to read another 10 chapters because I really want to find out what this law is about. Because consistently in the book of Deuteronomy, God said that if you will observe the law, it's going to be good for you. That's how you read it, and you pray and talk back to God. But the key thing is you need to talk. No, don't just talk to thin air. Talk to a person who is listening. And then your scripture become interesting. Then reading 10 chapter actually is not that boring. Like this afternoon, I was lying down inside in the chair reading. Like that's why I like iPhone. Don't need to turn on light. I just read Deuteronomy. Oh, I said, can I read just 3 chapters? Then I take a short nap because I was really tired today. And it's 6 o'clock already. Because basically just prayer read, talking to God, even through that. Okay? So that's the first one. That's how you do it. Find a time. And you will really enjoy it. Of course, if something that you don't understand, just flip out a commentary. I mean, it's not a sin. Then say, oh God, give me revelation. No, just flip out a commentary. It's okay. Okay. Second, how do we engage during apostolic sessions? Okay. How do we engage during apostolic sessions? I'm going to give you step by step. This is how I do it. Okay. You can tweet it, but use it. Cultivate that pattern and the lifestyle. It will come easy. You see, for a start, you have to consciously engage yourself. That's the key thing. Okay. The first is this. Engage your heart with God. Or engage the heart of God. The moment I step in, 4 o'clock session start. I'm talking about apostolic. I focus on the person. Okay, I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here. I'm here to meet you. Kiss my heart. Come near to me. Will you come near to me? Typically, I focus on the Lord who sits upon the throne. You can pick whatever scripture that you love about, that describe about the Lord, but set a focus on the Lord because that helps you. Because I'm not here just to do prayer meeting. I'm here to talk to a person. I want to talk to a person. And I want a person to speak back to me. So I make a very conscious effort. Oh, God, I'm here. I mean, even though I don't tell the whole world, okay, please, if I say too loud, please tell me, okay? First thing is engage your heart with God. Second, talk to God. No, you have to. No, please, do it. Because I know another time, yeah, I have my own way. Yeah, we never do it one. First is engage your heart with God. Second is tell God, God, I'm here. No, really talk to. No, you really have to consciously say, God, I'm here. Will you come near to me? Then you just pause and hear. You can't just pray in tongues for a little while. Okay, next, open up a Bible. Yes, open up the Bible. Always open up the Bible. Choose a verse to focus. Sometimes I choose Psalms 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. I say, God, I'm here to encounter that great God. Yes, I am here to encounter that great God. Okay. Next, as the worship begins to start, sing or worship. You see, a lot of time we just sit there. No. The moment you stop singing, now I'm not saying that there's no place for you to start. You have to sing to God because that helps you to engage. I pace around. I sing to God. I sing to God, okay? Don't just be passive, you know. Sometimes you just got to sit, stand up and pay. That's why I love what Joshua does because I know he sings it. I know he pays. Sometimes just pays. That helps you to focus. It's true. It is true. I stand up and pace. Now I even find a better position. Now if I do prayer leading, I'm going to put a chair there. Because I stand up there, I can just walk straight. I don't have to turn. I discovered that on Thursday. That's why Annabelle asked me, why do we put a chair there? It's so easy for me to stand up there. I just walk and turn back. Yeah, that's it. Don't have to turn. No, that. Do you know that all this little thing helps you to stay engaged? It does. Sing. Sing to God. Consciously sing to God. Like, let's say, for example, Annabelle was singing, there is going to be a way. Then I was singing. And along the way, I don't have to sing, but I can throw in some conversation. Oh, yes, Jesus. This is the day that I'm living for. This is the day that I'm living for. This is who I am. Okay, then as she sing, you know, I am the rose, and you know what do I do? When that, what comes to your mind? Song 2, 1. So I flip up my Bible. You know, sometimes now I got 2. Well, I use iPhone. Easy. Don't need to, yeah. Song 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. Did I say very loud that day? I don't think so. I say, oh, this is who I am. This is who I am. I am your rose. I am your lily. And then I say, God, I want to have a greater understanding of who I am as your rose. Tell me, God. Speak to me. Okay. So don't be passive. Pace around and so on. Okay. No, the idea is not just to create the bars. Because when you move, actually, it helps. It actually helps. I mean, if the Lord is all over you, you so feel and so on, then there's a different story. Okay. Yeah. Especially the 4 o'clock one. Sometimes you come in, the mood is like, you know, everybody is sleeping, you know. Yeah. Because sometimes it helps. Next, when you come to prayer, what do? Listen to the prayers and the antiphoner singing. No, listen. Really listen. Again, open up your Bible. Listen. Okay. If someone sing, like, God strike the hearts of your church with the revelation of your beauty. Respond, say yes. Yes. And especially if you come to a chorus line, sing along. It helps. It helps. See, the key is always this. Always verbalize it. Always. No, one is that it keeps you going. 2, when you say it, trust me, you do long enough, you know something changed in you. It does. Say it. No, don't have to shout. Just say it. Strike the heart. Or even the simple word, yes, Lord. Yes. Do it, Holy Spirit. Because you know what? Holy Spirit know what you're asking. Do it. Verbalize it, say. Then actually, you're more than just participating in the prayer. You see, a lot of time we sit there, yeah, music is bored and so on. Music is bored because actually you shut down already. After a while, no matter how good is the music, you will shut down one. But when you participate it, then it's totally different. Yeah. You have to actively engage. You can actually do it. So that's apostolic. Devo is about the same, but I just want to highlight a thing about especially devotional. Okay. How do we engage doing Devo? Firstly, it's always engage the heart of God. Always engage the heart. I'm not just here to do something. I'm not just here to listen to music. If I'm here to listen to music, I'm going to stay at home. I'm sure there'll be better music. Okay. I'm here to engage the heart of God. Second, same thing. Open up the Bible. Always start with telling yourself this verse that I want to focus upon. Because that set the focus. But along the way, your focus may move because the song that the worship leader is using for the Devo may really stir your heart. Just like last Saturday that I am totally yours. I'm yours. Also, it really shifted because I actually dwelling on Psalm 27 verse 4. It really struck my heart. Immediately come to mind. Song of Song, chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved. His, what really strike my heart is His desire is towards me. It's like God really want me to understand and have an even deeper revelation of He desire me. He likes me. That's why, you know, when that happened, what do? If you are familiar with the verse, turn to the verse. Song of Song, chapter 7, verse 10. Read it. No, don't read too loud. I am my beloved. I am my beloved. His desire is towards me. What I do is I read it, then I say, oh yes, Lord, you like me. Your desire is for me. Let me know this even deeper to have a confidence in you. And especially if there's a deep truth, just throw in, pray in tongues. What I do is I pray in tongues a little bit to like, for a lack of that expert, that, I don't know how to describe it in the sense, help me to internalize even deeper. So we are doing a lot, Duane and myself. Yeah, it's like, oh, Sean Baba, hallelujah. Let her read the word, whatever. Just throw in that. Then before you realize, actually, 2 hours passes very fast. And not just that 2 hours passes very fast, you actually benefited. You know there's something. And every time I go back, I tell you that Saturday I went back, whole night I'm thinking of Song of Song 7 verse 10, His desires towards me. I don't really understand that. He likes me. I've been teaching that a lot. God likes me. God likes you. But wow, today I have a greater understanding of what it is. So you can do that. Tomorrow we are doing apostolic. Use your heart to do it and practice some of this. You just along the way you can develop your own step, but the key thing is stay focused, engage your heart with God, open up the Bible, start with a verse, and then begin to listen and engage. If God stir your heart, respond. Turn to a verse, verbalize it, pray a little bit in tongues. Let the engine, you know, I like what Mark Kepper said, let your motor run a little bit. Yeah, just pray a little bit. Just stir your heart. Help your spirit to be sensitive. Then come back again, read. Oh, God. Then you begin to pray. And the devo is actually very fast. And along the way, you have something to pray on. Sometimes I'm concerned because devo is like, oh, I have to, no one come and pray. Unless you must say, now we pray for justice, for whatever, whatever. No, when you do that, you will have something that you want to pray. But more importantly is that your heart comes alive. You engage God. And yet at the same time, you pray. That is the key thing. As simple as that. Amen? So practice that. It's not that hard. It's just a routine that we need to set in. Thank God it's not just a routine, but that the Spirit of God is able to breathe life in what we practice. That's what it is about. So that is about prayer.